Good morning and welcome. It's good to be with you, Lakeland family. Brother Donald is out of town, and he told me he asked the most talented preacher that he knows to be here, the one that was a studier of God's Word, a great communicator, but he was turned down. And so he reached out to an elder statesman, maybe one of the most handsome, most persuasive ministers he knows. But again, he was turned down. And so about 2 weeks ago, I was in Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and Donald called me and he asked me if I would preach. And so I said yes. I was afraid if I turned him down a third time, he might not ask again. You know that's not right. It is a privilege to be here. Brother Donald wanted to know what I was preaching on so he wouldn't overlap. And when I told him, he almost laughed and he said, well, I think we're safe. So be sure and come back next week and he'll be back again. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler, long I stood, looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth, and then took the other as just as fair, having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that passing there had worn them really about the same. Both that morning equally lay in steeps, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the other for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages since. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Those words were penned some 110 years ago by Robert Frost. When I was growing up, he was my favorite poet, and this was my favorite poem. And as I've aged, I've come to see more within the poem that we do have choices. We each make them every day. Some are significant, some are small and minor. You chose to get up and to come to church today. It's cold weather outside in the 30s, but you got up and chose to be here. Earlier this week, you may have chosen where to spend Thanksgiving, whether to drive or to welcome people to your home, to be with family or with friends. You may have chosen on Friday to get up at 5 a.m. and be at Kohl's to be one of the first 100 guests, or at 6 a.m. to Lowe's to get a 5-gallon bucket filled with goodies. Or maybe you just chose to go along with someone else who made that decision and not to go to the doghouse because it is quite cold. But we make those insignificant decisions every day without thinking. But some are more significant. Where we go to school, what we study, what we decide to major in. If we find that special someone to say, I do, to promise to spend the rest of our lives together. Or maybe where we work, what city, what company, or when we retire. Some of those decisions carry more weight, more significance. They have a long-term impact, not only on us, but our neighbors, our children, and their children. But there is one decision, one choice that we'll discuss this morning that has eternal significance, eternal consequences. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to open them to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. If you're not familiar with Deuteronomy, just start at the beginning. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Old Testament. Chapter 30, we're winding down. I've been privileged over the last 6 out of the last 12 months with some of the seasoned seniors to travel along with Moses. I want to invite you to join us on that journey to go back in time over 3,400 years. We've seen Moses called by God on the mountain to go speak to Pharaoh, and as he does, we've seen God deliver his people out of Egypt, and we've seen him take them through the middle of the Red Sea on dry ground that covered Pharaoh's army and drowned them. We've seen him lead them through the wilderness back to that same mountain where he met Moses, and he appeared again and gave his commandments. And they stayed there for a year. He gave instructions for a tabernacle of worship. They built it. And finally, God said, it's time to leave this place and go to the promised land. And we journeyed along with the people to the edge of the promised land. And God was there. He told the people to go in. They sent out spies and came back, and they decided not to go in. So we followed God's children in the wilderness until that generation died off, and the next generation again came to the edge of the promised land. And here we are in the book of Deuteronomy, which is really a series of sermons that Moses delivered, his final sermon series to the people at 120 years old. He knew he was about to go meet his maker, and the people were about to cross into the promised land. And so I'm going to admit this morning, I'm plagiarizing Moses' final sermon, but I want us to look at his summation and his call to action, because it involves a choice for each and every one of us, a choice with eternal significance. We'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to begin reading in verse 11 to the end of the chapter, and I would invite you just for a moment to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. You can follow along on your copy. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it. See, I have set before you this day life and prosperity, death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away, if you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish and will not prolong your days in the land where you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live it in the land the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Would you pray with me? Father God, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word. I pray that you would open our minds and our hearts this morning to be able to understand clearly your word. And Father, that you would tug at our heart to make the right choice. Every day we make choices, but Father, this morning we are called before you to make a significant choice that has eternal impact, not only on us, but potentially on those around us, our children and their children and our families and our friends and our community, our church. Father, help us to make the right choice, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Moses had fulfilled his mission. He was 120 years old and about to go meet God, but the people were about to cross into the promised land, and Moses gives them a choice. This morning, I want you to see 5 points, 5 things about that choice that apply to us today. The first is in verses 11 through 14. The choice is clear. It's crystal clear. God has revealed himself and his will, his plan and purpose for our lives so that it is preserved. It's written down. Notice what Moses said. This commandment I command you today, it's not too difficult. It's not out of reach. It's not up in heaven that you have to send someone there to go get it. It's not across the sea that you have to travel to retrieve it. It's not obscure. It's not unobtainable. It's not inaccessible. In fact, he says in verse 14, the word is very near you and in your mouth and in your heart. God's word is clear. It's not difficult to understand. Now, the Holy Spirit helps us to grasp what God is saying, but it's not difficult. I got an email this week about a book, a new book, explaining the 4 secrets that most Christians don't know about Christianity. And I want to tell you, there are no secrets. The gospel is plain. You don't have to go somewhere to a seminary to learn about God. He has written it in his word. He has made it plain and crystal clear. He's revealed himself. In fact, he had just revealed himself to the people on Mount Sinai. They heard the voice and the mountain shook and the people trembled and they said, Moses, you go up and get the message for us. We're just going to stay here and wait for you. And so Moses did. And God spoke his word to Moses. He even wrote it with the finger of God. He inscribed it on stone tablets. God gave his word. The people had heard it and Moses had shared it over and over. For 40 years, he shared God's word. The people had heard it. They had recited it with their mouth. They just needed to move it from here, about 12 inches down to here, to their heart, to incorporate it into everything they did. You know, this was not the first time God revealed himself. You go back to the beginning. When he created Adam and Eve, God spoke to them. In fact, before God spoke to Adam and Eve, the world was created and God spoke and said, let there be light. And he continued those days of creation, but he spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. He spoke to Noah, told him to build the ark. He spoke to Abraham and called him. And told him, follow me and I'll take you to a land I'll give to your descendants. He spoke to Isaac, to Jacob, all the patriarchs. He spoke to Joseph. And then he had spoken to Moses. But this was not the last time God would speak either. God continued to speak to Joshua after Moses, to several judges, to kings and priests and prophets throughout the Old Testament, but most clearly, God spoke to us through His Son. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. The Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us. In fact, this is how the writer of Hebrews put it. In Hebrews 1:1, he begins, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, through whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He also made the world. God has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus. He has recorded His word so that we have the written word of God. The choice that God gives us today is clear. It is written down. It's not hidden and hard to find. But we also see as we continue on in verse 15, the choice is limited. The choice is limited. God only gives two options. We see Moses say in verse 15, I have set before you today life and prosperity, or death and adversity. We live in a society that values choices. It's all about what I want and when I want it. That's why I think Amazon is so successful. We can look up anything we want, punch a button, and a few hours later, it shows up on our doorsteps. But God's word, God's way for our life is not like that. There are two choices, not multiple choices. It's not like I work at Guidestone. Ross mentioned that. We take care of insurance and retirement plans, and I work on the retirement side. And we offer almost 30 different mutual funds in which to invest. And you know what most that I speak to in ministry, most pastors say? Just tell me which one that I should be in. I don't want to pick and choose. It's a paralysis by analysis. There are so many choices, we don't know what to choose. But God's word is not like that. There are two choices that we have. It's not like going to a cafeteria where we say, oh, I'll have some of that, and I like this, and I want a little bit of this. God's word is not 50 shades of gray. There is black and there is white. There are two choices, two roads that God gives, two ways. Look at the first in verse 16. Moses said, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, statutes, and judgments, that you may live. Moses said, today is the day. You're standing on the verge of the promised land that God has promised to your ancestors. You need to decide to follow Him into the land that He has given you, to love Him supremely. In fact, if you go back to chapter 6, He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with everything. Put God first. Follow Him. Show that you love Him by following and walking in His ways, keeping His commandments. That's one way. But the opposite is also given in verse 17. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but you're drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare you today that you shall surely perish. There is God's way, and there is another way that seems right to man. It's our way, the highway that we choose, our own choices. God said if we turn away from Him, notice the progression. Turning away off the path that we should be going, and then we decide, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that or not. We don't obey. And then our attention is drawn to something else, and we're drawn away from God and begin down our own path. There are only two options, God's way or our way. In fact, if you turn to the New Testament, when Jesus preached his Sermon on the Mount, near the end in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, listen to what he said. Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, because the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it." Jesus said there are two ways. One is broad and there are lots of people on it. But every path has a destination. Every path has a destination. And he said the end of that is destruction. When I was in high school, there was a band, AC/DC, that I didn't get to listen to back then. And I wish I wouldn't have heard them afterwards, but they penned a song in 1979 called "The Highway to Hell." And they were talking about them and their friends. They're having a good time and they know where they're going. And all their friends will be there too. That is one option, and that is the option of the world. Choosing our own way. And yet God's way is narrow. It's like a trail, a four-wheel drive. We can barely pick it out, and there are few people on it, Jesus said. But Jesus said, take the narrow way that leads to life, the abundant life, the best life. There are only two ways. In fact, in John 14, 6, Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the way to the Father. I am the truth. Everything else is a lie. I am the way, the truth, and I am the life." Choose life. No one comes to the Father, Jesus said, but by me. The choice is limited. But thirdly, I want you to see every choice has consequences. So the choice has consequences, and the consequence is woven into the choice. When we make the choice, we get the consequence. There's no separating the two. You know, one of Satan's biggest lies, if we go back to the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3, when he was tempting Eve through the snake, he said, did God really say? He planted that seed of doubt with Eve. Did God's word, did he really say that? And Eve said, "Oh, we can eat of any tree except that one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But when we eat of it, we will die." And you know what Satan said? He said, "Oh, you won't die. God's fooling with you. God's holding back on you. If you eat the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you can tell good and evil and you can make your own pathway. You don't need God. You can make your own path in life." That was the biggest lie. God said there are two ways and this is the way to go. And Satan said it doesn't matter. You can be your own God, make your own path. That's what Frank Sinatra sang about. I did it my way. But all highways have a destination, an end in sight. In verse 15, he says there are two ways and one, if you go your own way, leads in death and adversity and curses. Where if we go God's way, we have life, we have goodness, prosperity, and we have God's blessing. In fact, we have life itself. Jesus said it this way, "The thief comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. If we go our own way, make no mistake, no matter what Satan says, no matter the lies of this world, the end is destruction and death. But if we go God's way, Jesus said, I have come so that you could have life. And what kind of life? Abundant, overflowing life, the best life. There are two ways, our way and God's way, and each one has consequences. Each path leads to a destination. Proverbs 14:12 says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to destruction. You know, if I were to take my keys out of my pocket and release it, what's going to happen? I release, keys go down. That's the law of gravity, right? I can do that 100 times, and the same thing happens every time. When we choose the path, we have the same consequences every time. That's what insanity is, right? Trying the same thing over and over, hoping for a different result, it doesn't happen. When we go down the wrong path, regardless of what the world says, the end is destruction. But we can go down God's path and we have life. In fact, God loved us so much that while we all were headed down that path, the scripture says we all like sheep have gone astray, each to our own ways. We've all started on the wrong road. But God so loved the world that he sent his son so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will what? Have everlasting life. God redeems us from the old way of life and puts us on a new road. He saves us just like he saved the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and brought them to the promised land, to an abundant life. God saves you and me. He offers that to save us from sin and death and deliver us to abundant life. There are consequences for our choices, which leads to the fourth point. The choice is personal. Notice throughout, Moses uses the word, I command you. Today, I command you, you are to do this. We can't see it in God's word. I wish I had a Texas edition where we could see the difference between you singular and you all, which is plural, all y'all. So he begins verse 11 through 14 saying, as a nation, you need to follow God. All y'all together, singular, need to follow God. But when we get to verses 15 through 20, several times it's not everyone, the nation, the whole church, it's the individuals. You know, it's hard to say we're all going to leave and go out this way when we do, because every one of you have a choice. You can follow me out this way, or you can go this way, or perhaps you park that way. Each of us has to make a choice. We are all accountable for our choices. And by the way, it's not the choices we talk about. It's the choices that we back up with action. Jesus, just like God extended the call to Abraham, follow me, and I'll show you when we get to the land. What did Jesus tell his disciples when he called them? Come and do what? Follow me. Follow me. Walk this way. Do as I do. God sent his son to show us how to live. Jesus also said in the Sermon on the Mount, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and perform many miracles? And then I declared to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, it's not what we say about the choice. It's the actual choice we make. It's the path that we head out on. And there's only two. Finally, the choice is urgent. Did you notice in verse 11, Moses said, this commandment I command you today. It's not too difficult. In verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. In verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I have set before you life and death, blessings and the curse. Choose life. It's a personal choice, but there's an urgency here. I was working on my sermon earlier this week, and my son oversaw, we were having a conversation in the office, and the screen was behind me, and he saw something that I printed, and what I printed was, delayed obedience is disobedience. Well, yesterday, he asked me to come do something. He was upstairs and wanted my help, and I said, I'll be there in a minute. I want to finish this. And you know what he said? Dad, delayed obedience is disobedience. Ouch. Delayed obedience is the same as disobedience. I want you to catch this. Mark this down in your Bibles, and you can go look it up later. Numbers 13 and 14. This generation that was standing there with a choice, their parents had the same choice almost 40 years earlier. And rather than going into the promised land, they had sent spies that came back and said, man, the land is great. Look at all these grapes and the produce is wonderful, but the people are giants. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. And their cities have big walls, and we can't go in. We can't take it. In fact, they said, we want to choose a leader and go back. We would rather die in the desert than go in. In fact, they were going to stone Moses and Joshua and Caleb, and God showed up. And God said, you want to die in the desert? You made your choice. You'll die in the desert. Your children will go in. And you know what? They slept on it. They got up the next morning and they said, yeah, after we thought about it, we've decided we're going to go in. And Moses said, it's too late. They said, no, we're going to go. And they went without God. And you know what happened? They were defeated soundly and driven out. And they wandered the wilderness for 40 years because of their poor choice until every one of them, like they wished, died in the desert. Now the children are standing at the edge of the promised land, and Moses said, today is the day. Choose life. You only have two choices. Choose life. Today is the day. It's urgent. Don't delay. In fact, if we go to the New Testament, listen to what Peter said. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient with you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God is patient. But the very next verse says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The day is coming, and we don't know when it is. It'll come like a thief. In the blink of an eye, it'll all be over. Today is the day you have to make a choice. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, 2, today is the day of salvation. If you've never met Jesus Christ, if you realize for the first time today, you've been on the wrong road and you need to repent and turn around and accept the forgiveness that Jesus came to give. He was born of a virgin, grew up and lived a sinless life, and died on the cross for your sin and for my sin. Today is the day of salvation. You can come and ask forgiveness and commit your life to Him to follow on the right path. Or perhaps you've already made that decision, but you find yourself this morning, the voice of God is further and further away, harder to hear. You're trailing behind. You're not following. You're sitting. You actively need to draw closer to God to avoid the distractions of the world and get back on the right track. Today, you have a choice. And with Moses, I want to encourage you. You have a choice. Choose life. Please, choose life. God wants the best for you, but it's your choice. Satan tries to trick you and draw you into hell with him, but God never sent a single person to hell. We choose actively to go our own way instead of God's way. Choose life. Two roads diverged into a wood, and I took the road less traveled by, and that's made all the difference. Will you make the choice for life? Would you pray with me and bow your heads? Father God, I thank you for your word, that you still give us a choice, that you've laid it out plainly what that choice is. You've sent your Son, the living incarnate Word, to show us how to live. Father, you've offered forgiveness for our sins and a new path, a better life, the only way of life, doing things your way. Father, we know there are consequences to our choices. Our choices are limited. They're only two. Help us to follow your Son, Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Father, help us make the right choice today, every individual, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.